This is Amber.
And this is Shannon.
And you're listening to Twin Beaks, the Chicken Fanatics podcast.
It's fucking great.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Twin Beaks podcast. I'm Shannon.
And I'm Amber.
And we're your hosts here at the show. Hope everybody is feeling fine because it's time for episode 9. So, let's see. Why don't we start with the not so much chicks anymore update? Mm-hmm. Let's see. Anything happened with them? Did we tell them last week that we moved them outside?
I don't think so. I think we said we were trying, but they hadn't actually successfully spent the night out there yet.
So that's pretty much our only update. Yep. How'd it go?
Pretty good. They have learned to perch, and at dusk I went out and made sure they were on the perches, and so I figured they were safe and let them spend the night. The weather seemed okay, and they did well.
Yeah.
They're happy.
Yeah, it's a little bit not ideal hacking birds off in the winter.
Yeah.
It's not really that, like, well, you were in the house. Welcome to freezing cold outside. But
yeah.
Not that it's really freezing cold here. We're very spoiled in California.
Yeah, they were definitely ready to go outside. And it was hard because the weather just seemed like it could endanger them. So I was happy it warmed up.
Yeah, it's midwinter now,
mm-hmm.
And sometimes it gets a little frosty. Ha ha ha. Sorry, I can't help myself. So, let's see. That's it for our chick update. We might have to just nix that segment and switch to reporting on them when they do things that are interesting, because
yeah, they're kind of just chickening around.
There's not something to say every week. They won't go inside the house, the hen house. I think it's because it's up too high and they just haven't figured it out yet. Ideally, I think if we'd done anything differently with them, we should have started them blocked off inside the house so
yeah.
They got the idea that that was their home, and then let them out into the coop,
mm-hmm.
and then which we haven't done yet, let them out into the yard.
Yeah.
They're still a little small for being out in the real world.
And when they're that young, the first year I had my other chickens, they actually flew over the fence and flew into the trees a few times because their body weight was so light they could actually do that. So I'm thinking
that's true.
Clipping their wings the first year before I let them out in the yard, because we have dogs in our neighbor's yard and stuff like
mm-hmm.
that. And when I did it with my other chickens, I only had to do it once. And then once they realized they couldn't do it anymore, they kind of just quit trying to do it. So I never had
yes.
to clip their wings again.
Yes, it's a good idea to do it before they ever learn how.
Yeah. I feel like if they were really in a panic situation, they could still fly. So I like to not clip their wings.
That's a good general tip for bird behavior, livestock behavior, really, in my experience with livestock, which is reasonably limited. But I'm pretty sure it's true for all animals, is if you see your animals doing something that you don't want them to do, don't let them keep doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Make it stop as soon as possible. Because once an animal gets it into its head that it can do something, you have to try really hard to stop it. Just like that thing with the deer. You know, there's a story about training deer into the garden. So you start with a 2-foot fence and teach them to hop that. And then you start put in a 3-foot fence and teach them to hop that, and then you put in a 4-foot fence, 5-foot fence, 6-foot. I've heard of deer clearing 8-foot fences. I've never seen it, but it wouldn't surprise me. And of course the point there is that you're teaching them to just jump higher,
mm-hmm.
whereas if you just put in an 8-foot fence in the first place, they'd never even try to get into your garden,
mm-hmm.
because to them it would just be this place that's forever off limits.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So it's the same thing with chickens. And then there was another thing that you made me think of, which was, oh yeah, it's true that chickens are a lot more mobile in their younger years. once they bulk up and get fat and get ready to start laying, their body changes, and we'll be getting into that a little bit later, and they're less able to fly. Mm-hmm. So you have to use extra caution with them because they actually can just really fly.
they can get way up in a tree,
way up into
dusk,
a tree,
and you won't be able to get them down yourself. And
yeah.
Then, of course, predators come out. So, yeah, I think I'm gonna do that.
Or they just get used to roosting in that tree,
mm-hmm.
and then you've got a problem there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a good idea to do that. Yeah. So that's the chicken update. let's see, what do we want to do next?
How about the poultry problem solvers handbook?
Alrighty, I will pick a couple pages here. I am not getting normal eggs from my hens. Eggs can be laid with various shell defects, everything from coarseness and ridges to extreme thinness or even no shell at all. This can be down to poor diet, disease, stress, and hereditary factors, among other causes. Solution. Well, much depends on the breeding stock from which the layers came and, indeed, the way in which the birds producing the eggs are being kept. Perhaps the most closely linked factor is diet. A typical eggshell contains just over 7/100ths of an ounce, 2 grams of coarse calcium carbonate, and this accounts for some 95% of its overall weight. Interestingly, you will also find magnesium and phosphorus, together with tiny amounts of potassium, sodium, zinc, manganese, iron, and copper. If a bird is missing out on any of these important constituents, it can result in substandard shell quality. Soft-shelled eggs, where the egg is contained within a rubbery membrane, can be laid as a result of disease, fright, management changes, hot weather, hereditary factors, or a vitamin D deficiency. However, it is not unusual to get a few soft-shelled eggs from pullets as they first come into lay, especially if this happens to coincide with rapidly increasing day lengths. Shell quality deteriorates each year towards the end of lay as the shell-forming gland becomes worn out. This can be quite a common occurrence with modern hybrids at the end of their laying season. So if you want the best eggs, you need to make sure that your hens are happy and healthy and enjoying a good quality balanced diet. If you find soft shells being produced suddenly, then make some oyster shell or limestone available to the birds. Simply put a few handfuls in a container near to the main feeder, and they will find and use it as necessary. Normally, though, this should not be necessary, as well-formulated poultry feed should contain ample calcium to ensure good shell quality.
Hmm. So maybe if they're free-ranging a lot and getting most of their feed from greens and things like that, that might be a concern?
If they're free-ranging?
Right, because if they're not eating a substantial amount of feed that's fortified with, you know, all these things, calcium, vitamin D.
Well, I generally tend to think of free-ranging. I guess it goes back
like
to what do you mean by free-ranging?
Like grass,
you know,
and bugs.
If, like real nature, you know, then they get all of those micronutrients and mm-hmm. stuff from mm-hmm. little bugs and different types of plants. And
so it might be more of a problem when you're feeding them your household scraps?
See, this goes back to a chicken knows what it needs.
Mm-hmm.
So if you just give it a wide range of available food types, it'll pick as much
mm-hmm.
Magnesium out of the plants as it needs, for instance. Mm-hmm. The problem comes from more like the opposite, you know?
A limited amount of...
In my experience, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or bad food, mm-hmm. or like poor quality, I mean,
mm-hmm.
or feeding them all one thing. Like, yeah, mm-hmm. if you're just going to feed your birds lettuce, for instance.
Yeah.
So, yeah, in my experience, I've seen thin to non-existent eggshells, and like they were saying, new layers.
Mm-hmm. That's I've seen that too.
It's almost common for the first few to come out sort of funky.
Right.
And after stress.
Mm-hmm.
Like a couple of the times, the couple times that I've had wildlife invasions, the birds that survived, it wasn't unusual for them to produce like shocked, you know, something weird about the egg,
mm-hmm.
or no eggs at all.
Mm-hmm.
They'll come out really small,
yeah.
or shellless, or... And then, I don't know, for whatever reason, it just seems like now and then you just got one.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. you couldn't really tell which hen it was, yeah. and it wasn't like they were all doing it.
I've had that happen too, and it just happened once, and then they went back to their normal... egg laying routine as though nothing had happened, really.
I don't know. I mean, it's not a very useful, I guess, attitude to take. But I think sometimes they just have misfires, mm-hmm. you know? This is the Chicken Keeper's Problem Solver by Chris Graham, published by Quarry. There's 100 different problems about chickens devoted to... about one page each. The opposite page is a photograph and some informational boxes, and the things are sorted by the different problems are sorted by subject, like you were saying: food and water, housing, chicken runs. So yeah, I just thought it would be a neat thing to. We periodically just randomly flip through here and pick a couple of chicken problems and talk about them. Amber and I can offer our own input. And, of course, if you've got special insight onto some of these, because they don't really go into depth, you know, bring them up on our website. We'll kick around different problems and solutions. I'm sure that, you know, you could write a lot more than one page on each of these. So let me just read some other ones. Oh, see, so this is good. This is about the crested birds, which are some of my favorite. I don't know, I just have a thing for the Polish varieties and the sultans. Lots of different birds are crested
too. They kind of have a fluff on their head, or would they count? Have to be more exaggerated than that.
Yeah, the crested varieties, it's like generally obscures their entire
mm-hmm.
head, but I don't know. I don't think that the silkies are considered a crested variety. But anyhow, so this one is: my feather-crested birds keep scratching their heads. Cause: crest mites are a problem that can affect any chicken breed with a feathery crest. Well, it is most usually associated with the Polish. It is something that silky... Oh! Well, there you go. Silky, Houdan, Sultan, and Araucana owners need to be aware of, too. So I guess silkies...
Well, Araucanas don't really have a crest, but they do have the beard.
Yeah.
So maybe it's just all kinds of unusual feathers.
I really wonder, are there specifically crest mites?
We should find out.
That just
know.
Like, I don't know. I'm skeptical. Yeah, only like why?
Yeah, the upper crest.
And are they really different than mites that are, you know, neck mites in non-crested breeds?
Yeah, that does seem a little weird that they would go for a specific area of the body rather than just being happy anywhere on the chicken.
I'm going to have to research this.
I know. I don't know about this.
Anyhow, let's see what to do about crest mites. Unless you are regularly checking the condition of your crested breeds by hand, which is highly recommended, the first indication of a problem will be an unusual amount of head scratching. This is prompted by the irritation caused by these mites. It can be so infuriating for the sufferers that they inadvertently damage their own eyes with their frantic clawing. Yeah, I bet. As well as the head scratching, affected birds will become depressed and pale-faced. How do you know? And egg production is likely to suffer. Just kidding. Careful treatment with a good quality anti-louse powder will help to correct the situation. This should be applied directly onto the head, ensuring that the powder is worked right down to the base of the feathers and the skin. Also, it might be advisable to use a cotton swab to apply a small amount of the powder gently to the bird's ear canals on each side of its head. Crest mites may well be using this area as a refuge. Reapplication about a week later is very important to catch any mites that may have hatched since the first treatment. Reinfestation is always a risk, though, so be on your guard. If you find it difficult to clear the problem, then talk to your vet about alternative, longer-lasting treatments that they may be able to prescribe. And then here's the info box on the opposite page. The crest mite is a little brown creature that spends its entire life on the host bird. It looks quite similar to a red mite and is a very fast worker. It completes its life cycle in under 7 days. This means that infestation is a typically rapid business and serious problems can develop very quickly. Clumps of crest mites that are left untreated on the bird can have a devastating effect, causing anemia. They feed on the host blood, and in worst cases, even death.
Oh my.
Blood.
That is serious.
So it's actually...
like a louse.
I thought that they lived off of dander.
Yes, that's what I thought mites lived off as well. And that the lice lived off of blood, but more things to research.
Interesting.
One thing you can do, if you do live in California, there's an abundance of eucalyptus trees everywhere, and they're quite invasive. You can take some of those leaves and stick them in the nest boxes for your other pets as well. And that discourages insects. They really don't like the smell of it. So
I imagine other things work like that.
Yeah,
like cedar, probably.
Absolutely. They don't like cedar. They don't like lavender, I think, is another one.
Right.
Tea tree oil, of course, they don't like that. That's a really good one, but you have to go buy that. And there's probably some other herbs that people could look up that maybe grow in abundance that would be good to just toss in there for those materials.
I got to say, I would use that as an adjunct or a deterrent.
Absolutely.
Instead of powder.
Not instead of, but in addition to.
Yeah. Just because... once your birds get infested, they kind of they'll stay that way. I mean, if you've never seen a good mite infestation before, it's just, I mean, sometimes you just put your hand on the bird and they just start swarming up your hand. You know, it can get intense.
What was that one bird that we were nurturing back to life?
Oh, it was a dove.
A dove,
That fell out of the roof at my work, which is like this industrial warehouse place, salvage yard. Yeah. I don't really work there anymore, but so anyway, they of course gave it to me because they know I'm the wildlife guy, and I of course took it to you because you actually have worked with birds recently and... you know, the rehab center experience and all of that, even more than I have. So it's really just, you're the connect to the rehab center. So of course, honestly, I didn't want to deal with it.
Right.
Just like, get this to a rehab center and they'll...
I'm used to all the things you're supposed to do.
Feed it to a snake or do something reasonable. No, I'm just... well, I'm not really kidding.
It was a native species. I was shocked. But,
oh, yeah, but my gosh.
Even though there are plenty of them. They're abundant.
Yeah.
But anyway.
No, it was the right thing to do.
Yeah. Anyway, we were having to syringe feed it some...
but yeah, it was crawling with mites.
And
that's
one of us held the bird, there was, I would say, hundreds of mites.
Oh, certainly hundreds.
Crawling up my arms. While holding the bird, within like
probably a thousand
seconds, of holding
it. No, it just feels like your skin is crawling.
So if there's that many, you could see them crawling, and I really had to just have a lot of self control and be like, okay, these things can't really harm me. They're really disgusting.
That's a good thing to bring up. Okay, so people don't have to worry about catching mites from birds.
Yes,
they'll crawl all over you, and it's disgusting. But you don't have to worry about, like, getting infested or...
there's very few diseases that will pass from humans to birds.
Well, that's not true.
The ones that are really nasty, though.
There's 9 different things you can get from a pigeon that will kill you.
Maybe you should.
I know that because I learned that when I did my internship with vector control.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's. But, you know, how common are those?
I think that they're very uncommon.
Right.
Yeah.
What's the probability of you getting that?
I think,
you know,
because I work with all these sick
birds. Do you have to lick out the nostrils of every pigeon on Main Street?
Kind of like,
or
wash your hands and
right.
change your clothes. You pretty much don't have to worry too much, so.
Yeah. I don't worry about it.
I don't worry about it either.
So my birds have gotten mites before. One good way to prevent mites is don't let wild birds eat your bird food.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Don't give way to the temptation.
Bird feeders are a great place to spread disease.
All kinds of diseases and serious stuff that can get into your flock and then...
Yeah.
We'll talk about diseases because some of them are bad news.
Different episode. There's a lot to say. My goodness.
Yeah, there is. There certainly is. So, yeah, don't let that happen. And that'll help a lot. And,
let them have dust baths.
Dust baths are good. Deterrent vegetation and the coop is good. Mm-hmm. Acts as bedding anyway. So, but let's say you get them anyway. It's pretty simple. You go buy the powder and you put it on the bird.
You kind of sprinkle it on the back of the neck usually. You don't need a lot of it, it seems like.
The way I saw it was you just kind of coat the thing off. I mean, mm-hmm. I took it, take it, rub it into their heads, mm-hmm. rub it onto their back,
mm-hmm.
and then next bird.
I suppose it can't harm. Although,
I don't think it's...
I think sometimes you want to put it where they can't reach it as well.
Yeah, that's the idea generally. That's why I said the back of the head and the back of their body because
it's harder to get off. Preening and stuff.
Yeah, you don't want them eating a lot of the stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of chickens get dusted every year,
mm-hmm.
and they all seem, you know,
they're fine. Yeah.
It's fine,
mm-hmm.
but on the other hand, you don't really want them eating it. Necessarily, because no good comes of it. So just dust them off, don't overthink it, and then come back and hit them again in
mm-hmm.
a few days, because like they said, you know, there's a week life cycle on the head mites.
Yeah.
And by the way, they sort of did imply, and there are different species of mites, you know. I saw a big one on one of the pigeons.
Ew.
Yeah. Just this I've never seen anything that big. It just,
how large is it? Like how long?
The black part of a pencil tip, let's say.
So like a quarter, eighth of an inch.
Yeah.
An inch long.
Yeah.
That's huge.
It was
something on a bird.
It was big. Yeah, I was surprised. We could go a little bit
beastly.
Gross. One time. I was looking at a nest of songbirds. I wasn't supposed to be doing that. But, you know, kids, right? And this maggot just crawled out of the head of a living bird. Like, just through a hole in its head. It was,
that
yeah.
That can happen. You can live in wounds.
I was so freaked out, I almost fell out of the tree. Because it's like this little idyllic nature scene. Oh, look, baby birds. And this worm. So, yeah, that's what was going on there. And what was interesting, I was so horrified because I took it to the wildlife center or went and told the wildlife center about it. And they said, oh, don't worry, it'll be fine.
Really?
Yeah.
Don't worry, it'll be fine?
Yeah, which probably was like kid, just let nature happen.
Nature will take care of it.
Yeah, but man.
Wow.
I worked at the wildlife center, so it wasn't like, so it wasn't like I just went harassing them for it. They were people that I talked to anyway, but yeah. So there's all kinds of weird stuff that birds can get like that. Yeah, if you see that, yeah, you take it to a vet. It's probably a decomposer, right? It's just eating something that's rotten,
mm-hmm.
like an infection, yeah, mm-hmm. or something. Mm-hmm. So actually those things... You don't have to worry about them that much because they're not actually attacking the bird. But it does indicate an injury that you need to get fixed anyway, so.
Yeah.
They're not carnivorous in the sense that they don't eat living tissue.
Hmm.
In fact, people used to use it, and this is kind of a disgusting direction to take the show, but they used to use them to clean wounds like hundreds of years ago, to my understanding.
Hmm. Yeah, that's correct. Wow.
Little bit of weird trivia on the chicken podcast today.
It's just interesting thinking about that.
Mm-hmm.
First, your instinct is to get...
be horrified.
The offending intruder.
Definitely means something's going on that shouldn't.
Right.
I've never had that happen with my poultry, by the way.
No.
The important part to that chapter, and that was the Chicken Keeper's Problem Solver by Chris Graham, is that to check your birds, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of fun anyway. You just pick them up and go through their feathers. And they don't always, the mites don't always just swarm up your hands. Sometimes you got to dig around in there.
They might have mostly they don't. Like, I don't see mites on the outside, lice and mites and things like that on the outside of the feathers too much.
Mm-hmm.
But if you could blow on the feathers and it parts them so you can kind of see, and you might see them scurrying around on the skin mostly.
I like to look at the cloaca because...
do they go there to get
the all-purpose hole?
Moisture,
warmth, mm-hmm. and it's also exposed skin, and mm-hmm. especially on a laying hen, there's a lot of, you know, space to see down there.
Yeah.
And it's pretty good odds you'll catch one running across the surface if they've got any, and then you're just, okay, they've got bugs, time to dust bomb them again.
Do you ever notice they're in the armpits a lot?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the warm spaces under the wings, the back of the neck.
Mm-hmm.
They like to hide.
Like creases, it seems like, maybe.
That's right. They like creases. They like to hide in places where they're not going to get eaten by
those
the birds or scraped off or, you know, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You can also look down where the feathers start at the base of, just above the feet,
mm-hmm.
because the feathers are thin there, so it's kind of easy to just rake through there to look.
Yeah.
So, you just, pat down the birds.
Yeah, that can be fun.
Yeah, you should be doing that anyway.
Yeah, it's good to handle them.
It's good for them. Mm-hmm. It's good for you. Scientifically proven.
Yes.
So, let's see. Shall we go on to our topic?
Yes. How to buy a used chicken.
How to buy a used chicken.
Not
get stuck with a lemon. That's right. So, I've done some buying of used chickens. Or, one way to get started on a, let's say you're doing a homesteading kind of thing and you don't really want to plunk down $75 for a bunch of baby chickens and have them mailed to you, and maybe there's some free chickens on Craigslist.
Especially like we were talking about, I think the last episode, around wintertime, a lot of people get rid of their chickens because just seasonally they kind of stop laying eggs, and a lot of times people are like, oh, they're not laying eggs, let's get rid of these guys, but they start up in the spring again.
It's
a good time to get them.
That's right. One of the nice things about getting used chickens, and I'm just going to say on Craigslist because that's what I turn to. I'm sure there's lots of places where you can find them. I know there's Facebook groups out there for like the small farming community with people like to trade stuff, and there's all kinds of places to look for free chickens. There's a chicken placement websites, I believe, where you can, it's basically a place to sell chickens. But
there's chicken rescue places around here. I heard of one.
That's true.
Through my the wildlife hospital.
Yeah, that's right. And the good thing about that and the free chickens and stuff like that is you can correct other people's negligence, to be blunt. Part of the new fad, get off my lawn, part of the new fad in backyard chicken raising is that people irresponsibly buy chickens.
Mm-hmm.
You see a lot of 30-somethings, you know, that get chickens for their kids, and then the kids don't really care about taking, you know, don't have the discipline, and the parents don't make them, so it's just got to get rid of these things, or just a lot of people, they get them, and then their lives get hectic, and then the chickens get neglected and stuff like that. And so people go onto Craigslist and just like, okay, I need to make this someone else's problem. Mm-hmm. I've got a fancy computer job. I don't care about getting, you know, the $140 for this bunch of hens and having to take, I just want them gone.
Yeah.
So there's that.
And if you can show and demonstrate that you're going to take really good care of them and be good to them, there's a lot of people who are really attached to their chickens and they may rather give them to you for free than someone else who is going to pay money and not offer that.
Yeah. Yeah. People do like to have their fantasy about who picks up their animals.
Mm-hmm. It's like giving up a child for
willful
making an adoption plan.
Wishful thinking, yeah. I had a goat rescue pick up this goat. And just like, goat rescue, huh? Uh-huh. I hope you guys are telling the truth. But to be honest, it was rolling the dice with them or certain death with me because I couldn't take care of it. So, yeah. Downer animals, they happen.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes you get free chickens just because you're not willing to deal with the fact that you don't want to keep them and host them until they're old and non-producing, but you can't call them yourself, so you have to accept that.
So, yeah, maybe this is a good place to start with getting used chickens, is that there's a lot of reasons to want to get rid of chickens. And hard as that might be for us to believe, people might actually want to get rid of chickens. Yeah, I don't understand it. Obviously, the solution to life is more chickens.
I mean,
but
I just want more and more. If I could host them all, I would take them all.
We need to get you a license plate frame that says, "She who dies with the most chickens wins." That would be... That would be great. That would be really funny.
Yes.
So yeah, you want to, if you can, get a sense of why the people that are getting rid of their chickens are getting rid of their chickens. If you're buying them, it's a different story. For, you know, a lot of people just raise and sell chickens. Well, you know, so, and you can usually tell by the setup how, if that's what they are, well, and that you're paying for them, obviously. So,
and if they're young and almost ready to lay, then you kind of, as long as they're not sick, you can't go wrong there.
There's a lot of people, though, that aren't in the chicken producing business. They've got a small backyard flock that they're growing for, that they wanted to, let's have some eggs and, you know, or let's have chicken meat. Oh, wait, I really don't like killing chickens. Stuff like that. And those are typically mixed flock birds that can be mixed age. Sometimes the deal is got to take them all. Sometimes the deal is you don't have to take, you just take whichever ones you want. I've seen a lot of have to take them all sales.
Yeah.
Because what people really want is their problem gone. So, want to guess what the first thing I look at when I go to buy a used chicken is? Let's just say I found an ad and I go to someone's house. You know, the woman on Google says, "You have arrived." And there I am in front of their house. Want to guess what the first thing I look at is?
How old the house is? The paint?
Yes.
Oh.
What a good guess you have there. That's right. So the first thing I look at is the house. And I say, how old is that house? Is that house old enough that it's been sitting there for maybe 100 years with the lead paint that they put on it flaking off into the yard every 10 years and that sort of thing? Or was it made 10 years ago? You know? And, you know, I don't necessarily just never get out of the car and drive on if it's an old Victorian or something. But I just make a note of that, you know. All right, pay attention to that. So
you may be able to ask them what parts of the yard the chickens have access to, because typically with the lead, it kind of is in a radius around the house of a few feet.
Yeah.
It doesn't totally
fly
travel.
Magically across the yard.
Yeah.
Although
you might be able to get away with it.
It can
if the
move
around.
And there's other things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, you might want to consider that if the house is that old, the people that lived there probably buried their garbage in the backyard.
Mm-hmm.
So there could be God knows what buried just under the surface of their backyard. And, you know, you don't have to freak out and run away because of that, but it's something to keep in mind.
Mm-hmm.
So then I go in, hello, Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Yes, I'm here to look at the chickens. And they take you around to the backyard, and you get to see how the birds live. And if you can't, you could try asking, you know, try to get to see where the birds, what kind of housing they live in, what it's like inside their house. And you can usually, you know, you don't have to make it look like an inspection. You can, well, can I just watch the birds run around for a bit?
Ask to see their feed, too.
Yeah. What are you feeding them, you know?
Especially if they raise them, because a lot of times poor nutrition or some of these issues as they are in the critical stages of development can have lasting effects on their health.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I go into the yard and I'm like, do the chickens get just like the run of the yard? And does that mean they can like eat and dig around right under the edge of the house where all that paint might have been landing? Is there a pile of car parts in the yard that the chickens just get to run around in because those are covered with grease? You know, what kind of toxic exposure do they have? How much space do they have? Do they have a lot of space? Are they cramped? Look at the ground in the coop, and does it look hammered? Like hard, like maybe there's just 8 or 9 birds there now, but does the ground look like there were 100 of them back there, or 50 or something like that? You want to get a sense of their living conditions and history. And, you know, of course, talk to the people. And this can all be done very conversationally and subtly. You know, you don't have to march around like you've got a clipboard or anything like that, but just, oh, what are you feeding them? And, you know, can I see their nest boxes? And, you know, usually people like to show the stuff off because they're backyard chicken enthusiasts.
Yeah.
And also I'm using that to get a feeling of these people. Are they excited about chickens? Do they like showing them to you? They almost always have a story about how, oh, I used to have chickens, but now I've got to move or whatever it is. Try to find out why they're getting rid of their chickens. Do they have a story that just seems natural and, you know, easily, or does it sound like a canned speech? So, yeah, you've done all that. And, if they do have an old house, look to see if, like, they've done a lot of, digging around in the soil, you know, dug a big hole for a swimming pool, or tore every, you know, you want to see if they're rototilling up 100 years of trash and lead pollution.
That stuff will get buried in the underlayers with just a decomposing matter.
Right. So now you're ready to look at the birds. And what I do first is before I just lunge in and start inspecting and examining them, you know, this is while I'm still talking to the people a little bit, you know, is I just try to watch the birds. And just as a flock, are they all crammed in together? Are they sounding stressed and, you know?
Are they lively and curious and animated?
Now, a lot of times people will if they know you're coming to get birds, they'll keep all their birds cooped up so that you don't have to chase them around the yard and stuff like that. So try to see if that, the way they're, are they being kept that way just for you, or are they normally have the full run of the yard? And yeah, you just kind of want to look at them, and are they a lively, happy flock of birds? Mm-hmm. Or do they look stressed out, or, you know, are there any that are just standing there looking at the ground? Mm-hmm. Or any that are in the nest boxes and won't leave, but it's not like part of their, yeah, not part of their normal, you know, you can tell if you see a bird that's just sick and doesn't want to come out of the house.
Yeah, and they are kind of subtle, and they don't make a big fuss when they're sick normally, so you have to keep an eye on them. But if one is off by itself and puffed up, then chances are it's not feeling well.
Right, right. Yeah, so then after you do that, I guess I sort of say, okay, well, what am I looking at here? Do I have a bunch of older birds that this person just wants to get rid of? Do I have somebody that just needs to move and doesn't have chickens in their new spot? And they're, you know, oh, there's some old ones, there's some young ones, there's some good egg layers. Mm-hmm. Are there a bunch of roosters mixed in there that I'm going to have to deal with? Mm-hmm. Stuff like that.
Speaking of roosters, I've heard of people going to markets and seeing just bins full of roosters being passed off as unsexed young chickens on people. So it's
no kidding.
Kind of important. I think that's, you know, rare. That's a really lame thing to do, but I've heard stories. So one thing you want to know how to do is tell if it's a rooster or not. Or have a guarantee, know the person so that you can hunt them down later and say, well, if this turns out to be the wrong sex, whether you want it to be a hen or a rooster, that you can exchange it, perhaps.
Right.
You know, something like that.
So, then I look at the birds themselves. I pick them up. I look at their eyes, especially. They should be bright, mm-hmm, and alert birds, you know. I'm looking for listlessness, dull coloration, mm-hmm, especially any kind of eye deformities, cloudiness. Look for cataracts in the eyes. Mm-hmm. Pop open their mouth, look in there for like cheesy stuff, mm-hmm, discoloration, anything that looks abnormal, unhealthy,
right,
something that, because these things, like cloudy eyes and like cheesy stuff in their mouths, might not be something that's really obvious, but those can be indicative of diseases.
Right. And if they have dirty behinds, it means they probably have the runs and something might be wrong with them in that way.
Could be, mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. What you really want to avoid, birds with diseases. I mean, at the risk of saying something that sounds obvious, mm-hmm, but
they can contaminate your whole flock if you introduce them.
Well, there's some diseases that do worse. Mm-hmm. They don't just contaminate your flock. They contaminate your property.
Right?
And then you can't have birds ever.
Right.
Which
that's
is sad.
All bad ones.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a sad thing.
Yes.
So. Yeah. So let's see. And yeah, I just sort of look at their faces. Are the wattles and comb bright, blood-filled, and sort of waxy, shiny-looking, or are they dull and discolored and drab?
And the legs should be smooth. The scales shouldn't be really sticking up too much. Sometimes that can be because they have the leg mites.
Leg mites. Mm-hmm. And if you care about the look of your bird, those legs stay nasty even if you get rid of the mites.
Mm-hmm.
That's just kind of, they're just deformed like that now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I guess I kind of look at their behavior, you know, are they acting like a normal chicken or do they do weird stuff? Mm-hmm. Like I remember in Guatemala, and we're going to do a show in Guatemala coming up soon. Surprise. Guatemala chickens.
Guatemala.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to be fantastic. That village that I was in last time just had hundreds of them.
Yeah, hundreds you showed me the hundreds. Video of
totally
Dawn with
insane.
The roosters. Just, you could hear them at all.
It was like that comedy short that we did where the guy roosters. Talking just turns into this cacophony of roosters. It was really like
cooler.
That. So I was at this hotel place or whatever, and there was this pair of chickens, and they were wandering around the yard, and one of them would only eat garbage.
Oh, wow.
And it was like wrong in the head. And it would just do random weird behaviors and had just looked scruffier.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish that I'd taken a video of them, actually, because it would be a perfect example of this. And its sibling or whatever looked fine.
Weird.
And was eating normal chicken stuff.
Mm.
And so, yeah, they, you can tell a lot by observing them. You check that, and just trying to think of where to go with it next.
I think it would be good to talk about, you're buying used hens,
mm-hmm.
and maybe getting them for free,
mm-hmm.
how to kind of determine if they're still of an egg-producing hen or not, how old they
are. Yeah, so part of that is looking at the cloaca,
mm-hmm.
Which you're going to do perhaps for mites anyway, mm-hmm. and it should be
moist.
Pink,
not dry and pale.
Or yellowed.
Mm-hmm.
And you can look at their pelvic cage,
mm-hmm.
and you want to check for width there.
Mm-hmm.
What was it? 3 fingers wide is good.
Yeah.
1 finger or less is bad.
Now let's see. So that was... like, if
just
you were doing
right.
it, almost you imagine the pelvis is like a human rib cage, how the rib cage comes together.
Mm-hmm.
Like, kind of like the fingers would go, you know, in between that part, like up on the...
I'm talking about right under the cloaca.
Like the lateral kind of... well, it's hard to describe without visual, you know, like the lateral sort of middle of the body, the fingers going that way in between, and then the other way...
Was
horizontal across the chicken's body from
right.
the
right, and that's supposed to be 4
right.
wide, right?
Yeah.
So it's 3 across the pelvis, mm-hmm. right under the cloaca, like if it's sitting on its back.
Yeah.
And then 4 over...
Across. You could probably get better visuals of that somewhere.
Yeah, online. there's a couple videos online you could find and check that out.
The idea is that the chicken's body... kind of changes and adjusts kind of to accommodate for the egg laying. So it's wider, and then as they age and stop laying eggs, it kind of closes up again, and before they start mm-hmm. laying eggs, it does as well.
Yeah. So you want to check that out, and you might be in a situation where you might have to take some suboptimal birds to get at the ones you really want, and
mm-hmm.
if you're willing to chop off some heads or just, I got one hen once that was just like this 8-year-old bantam hen,
mm-hmm.
totally useless,
wow.
you know,
Holy.
But she was, you know, the size of a softball,
aww.
So I kind of didn't care.
So sweet.
You know, it's thing eats less than, eats like a sparrow.
It's fun to have around, huh?
Right, yeah. Well, and it was this cute Craigslist ad. It was like, I have one hen. She's old and useless and lonely.
Aww.
She got sad because the rest of the birds got killed or something like that. So I was like, whatever. Mascot, charity case.
Cool.
You know.
That's awesome.
Yeah, she was fun. she was a character.
Aww.
Missing some toes.
Wow.
Yeah, they lose toes. Birds will do that. They get them snagged in things.
Mm-hmm.
Or they get, if you let your birds get too cold, they might lose them that way.
Mm-hmm.
That's bad.
Yeah.
Don't do that. We can talk about winterizing stuff at some point.
Let's talk a little more about the pigmentation that you might look for an older
bird. Yeah. Yeah, get
some more stuff for, because I think when you're getting used or free chickens on Craigslist, you kind of, most people don't, unless you want a pet strictly,
mm-hmm.
you kind of want to find a younger bird that still has some egg-laying life.
Right.
So
yeah.
One thing is when they're not laying, they're accumulating pigment in their legs and their faces. So if that's
ears, right?
Yeah, all of the exposed kind of
skin. And around the cloaca, was that?
I believe so.
Yeah.
So if that's vibrant and brightly colored,
that's bad.
Yeah, it means either that they're temporarily not laying eggs because of seasonal things, or that they're old or too young.
Because
that starts building up again. So I guess a pale color is something you look for in a producing bird.
Yeah.
And a bigger bird typically will lay more eggs, is what I've gathered. And you can tell somewhat, even though right after a bird molts, their feathers might look very nice in general. But one thing is, a younger hen will have a kind of tighter feather pattern. They'll lay kind of flatter and they'll have a smooth silhouette, as opposed to an older bird where it will be a little more loose and wayward. And an egg-laying hen also will have a slightly different posture. Their back will be a little more flat and their tail will be kind of upright. Like, kind of their keel will be kind of more forward, where the non-laying bird will be more upright. The picture I saw resembled the posture of a rooster a little bit, that sort of upright.
Yeah, versus kind of like posture. A cow.
Yeah, where it's like flat, you know, like typical.
Yeah, the back
shape
looked perfectly horizontal, whereas the non-laying was almost
kind
a 45.
Upright. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a good description.
Yeah, and that's because the distance between the, say, the bottom of the
pelvis?
Keel bone.
Oh, the keel.
The distance between the bottom of the keel and the pelvis becomes wider for egg laying, and that sort of pushes the bird in a certain
posture.
Yeah, the egg laying stance.
Another thing about older hens, their legs will get thicker and a little more gnarly looking.
I always just looked at the feet. Of a bird. A young chicken has
perfect chicken feet.
Tight scales, clean, shiny, you know, I don't know, vibrant. Mm-hmm. And the older a bird gets, the scales become kind of gnarly.
So like the feathers, they don't lay flat and smooth.
The toes can get broken and twisted sideways, or they're missing. And that a lot of people, most people, don't trim their bird's nails, so they could have really long nails
and
that look gnarly and stuff like that.
Side instead of straight up and down, all kinds of stuff.
If you're paying enough to be picky, that's a good thing to look at to sort of get a sense of. I guess that's another thing I would add, is I inspect the area to see, like, are these birds getting taken care of? You know, is there a blinding ammonia stench in their coop because they keep it dirty and closed up? Mm-hmm. Or is it all clean bedding and not just they changed it really fast before you came over, but like they scrape it out every time and it's, you know, is the water dish clean and in a sensible place? Does the coop look very well protected from predators, or kind of protected from predators? Mm-hmm. Stuff like that. If you have a dog around, find out if they have a dog around. Mm-hmm. What are these chickens like around pets, you know?
You may want to ask if they're vaccinated as well.
Yeah, if you can find out where they came from. Mm-hmm. So were these hatched out, or did you yourself, or did you get them from somebody, or... Mm-hmm. And yeah, because if they come from a hatchery, then you know they've been vaccinated against certain things, and then you know you don't have to worry about those things, which might become useful later if you find out one of your chickens has weird symptoms. You can go, well, I know it's not this, this, and this. Mm-hmm. And that'll save you a lot of trouble. Mm-hmm. See, now, I say it as though I've always done it that way, but I haven't always done things this way. At one time, I got a bunch of chickens from Craigslist in a hurry. And they had a bunch of really weird symptoms. Yeah. And that's a whole story. I think I've talked a little bit about it, but we're not going to be able to do that one tonight. But it's important because, man, once you take home birds and it's like, wait a minute, these all have cataracts.
Mm-hmm.
And this one's acting funny.
You might feel weird about even eating them at that point, you know.
Oh, yeah. You don't want to.
So
they could have heavy metal poisoning.
Might be a total loss.
Maybe one of them found a mercury thermometer in the backyard. You don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to eat that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe one of them's been eating trash.
So it's good to do your due diligence with your.
And heavy metal poisoning is bad news for the bird, but at least it's not contagious. So what happens is you go and look up a couple symptoms. Okay, my bird's got whatever, runny nose, this stuff in its mouth, whatever it is, and you go look it up, and the internet gives you a list of contagious diseases and poisoning.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to try and figure out which one it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really a mess. You got to wonder about contaminating your other birds, your whole flock. When you get birds from anywhere except like a hatchery, they got to go into quarantine. And man, you can get away with not putting them in quarantine, but the time that you don't, you'll feel really sorry.
Yeah, it's a big risk.
It's a
terrible shame for your sweet little birds.
Yeah, or the permanent confiscation of your chicken card by, I gotta look up what disease it is. It's basically just
soil, right?
Contaminates the soil, dormancy for
pox?
7 years.
I feel like an avian pox might be.
Well, I don't want to misinform. I don't. There's a lot of bird diseases out there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a frightening number of bird diseases out there. And it's so worth it to just do that, figure out where you can put them for 2 weeks and just do the quarantine properly.
Mm-hmm.
And then mix your birds in.
Yeah.
I would count almost on any birds you get having mites.
Mm-hmm.
And so much so that I don't really check too much for them when I go looking for birds, because it's just, yeah.
It's kind of a periodic thing.
They'll have mites.
If you get rid of them, they'll come back usually.
Especially in the city. You know, I didn't get very many. Didn't get mites that often in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Except for
interesting.
For when I got sloppy about letting the wild birds into
the. You might have something to do with the wild birds.
Absolutely.
The pigeons, maybe?
Well, there weren't pigeons out there. It was scrub jays and sparrows.
You know, the pigeons are just covered with mites.
Pigeons are
whenever
gnarly.
I've helped them, you know, I've injured ones, and they're kind of disease-ridden.
So, yeah, you've done a lot of wildlife rehab,
mm-hmm.
which involves taking in a lot of birds.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any things that you check for in wildlife, like when you're checking in animals, that would apply to checking out birds on a...
Well, definitely the
mites. That we didn't cover.
A lot of the other things we have to look for the same symptoms that we were already talking about,
mm-hmm.
and actually do tests where you look at things under microscopes and stuff like that.
Yeah, you don't get
so
to do that with these guys.
Not so much, but, you know, checking them over for injuries, things like that. Yeah, it's mostly symptom-based. We kind of do that same thing. You quarantine them. You keep them in the hospital area. Watch them really carefully, see if they need to be tested for diseases, and then they go into a different area. So,
yeah, I always relied on the quarantine period to
mm-hmm.
see if my birds were laying, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I never really inspected the chicken's pelvis to see if it was wide enough. I just went, $10.
I've never done that. I just learned about that. So.
Probably should.
Yeah.
I mean, if you...
Now I will in the future.
If you can only get a couple birds
mm-hmm.
because your space premium is up there.
You don't have money, so you're buying...
You don't want to buy duds.
Free hens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then again, you're probably not going to be buying cheap or free hens anyway. You probably just want to shell out the money and get like a good laying bird, because I mean, it's the difference between $10 or $5 and 20 or 25 mm-hmm. is mm-hmm. compared to what you're getting is so worth it.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe you're really on a budget. Maybe you really want a lot of chickens and you don't want to buy that many. There's a lot of reasons to go for the free ones. And despite my stories of horror, most of the time it's worked out mm-hmm. really well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, if you get a non-layer or somebody lies to you and sells you a rooster, you just eat them.
Easier said than done.
Yeah.
Might not work for a sentimental type.
Or you throw it right back on Craigslist and say, free bird, come chop its head off.
Hmm. Well, we'll save that for the brave of heart.
Right, yeah. And you'll get somebody, almost certainly. Yeah. But no, really, most of the time, it's just somebody's got birds and they've got to do something else with their life, or
they realize they don't earn their keep. A lot of times their chickens don't.
Yeah.
Labor of love.
Well.
And then sometimes they're a bit of work, you know, sometimes.
They can be. Mm-hmm. Or the kids got older and just aren't interested. I've heard that one a couple times.
Uh-huh.
The kids got older and just aren't interested.
Yeah.
Because, you know, your kid wants chickens when they're like 5.
Yeah.
And then they turn 9
uh-huh.
4 years later, or 8 3 mm-hmm. years later, and they're a different person from 3 yeah. years ago, and they just don't care about that at all. Mm-hmm. Or they were 9 and now they're 13 mm-hmm. or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, they so just...
A lot of people get them for the kids.
I got free Angora rabbits.
Oh, wow.
That were just some preteen turned teenagers 4-H project.
Uh-huh.
And Angora rabbits are almost lost my composure there, are a lot of work. But they are. They're, talk about a labor of love. You are just constantly ripping hair out of, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the cage cleaning too, but mm-hmm. mostly, yeah, just keeping up with all that hair.
Mm-hmm.
And kids don't just really want to spend their teenage years grooming rabbits. Not in this culture.
No.
Too much excitement. I know you're laughing because it's like, could you even imagine, you know? How do I do this and hold my phone?
Right.
I don't understand. Oh, you got to do it with both hands?
My daughter was playing this virtual reality video game, I guess, that basically she was shoveling out horse stalls virtually.
Oh, my goodness.
Hours on end and brushing horses. I was
oh,
like,
my
wow,
goodness.
You are a special child.
Well, it's that kind of thing is hip now. It's
yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hmm. Yeah, people doing chores in video games. Well, it's very psychological. You have to do the repetitive tasks because it makes the reward valuable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's not like she's going to have a corral of horses to play with down there. No. So
still, wow, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe they would win it. There's
Angora rabbits in video games.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's silly.
That's silly.
And we've been going for an hour, so we should probably call it an episode.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning into the 9th episode of the Twin Beaks Chicken Fanatic Podcast.
See you next time.
Bye. Oh, you look at me like that. I don't even know what to do with this one. I mean, it's just...
Just saying.
So complete.
Interesting.
So complete. So perfect. So... What's the word I'm looking for? It is its own epiphany. Presenting to you, ladies and gentlemen... Takeo Ishii and new BB Hendel. Takeo Ishii. Wir lieben euch.
Meister.
Händel ist am Herz auf die Sprunga, hat sie seine Fratze verbrunnen. Hey, mein Bibi Händel, du Bibi, gell, mein Bibi Händel, ja, tut sie. Ole, 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 ole,
ole, ole, ole, ole, ole, ole, ole, ole, ole, ole, ole, ole, ole, ole, ole, ole, ole, Southern Barbaria, the Yodel Meister, yodeling the BB Handel.
Was ich bin den Stadt eine Laufer und ein neues BB Handel kaufe. Geh, mein BB Handel, geh, BB. Geh, mein BB Handel, ja, du sie.
Yodel.
New BB Handel, Takeo Ishii. Takeo Ishii. Takeo Ishii. New BB Handel.